Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. Has a little glance to make sure he's not muted. Is Ruben Amorim about to quit Manchester United? That's the big news story this morning. Also, a Manchester United player coming out again, blaming themselves. We must do better. We have to look at ourselves. I mean, look, it's very commendable, that player doing it. And we'll talk about everything they've said about the system, about the manager, and about how they've got to do better. But we've heard it all before. We've heard it all before. We have heard it all before. We're also going to talk about Zidane, a little bit about Zidane coming in this morning as well. I've got a very interesting piece that I think you're going to really like. If you didn't watch That's Football Watch Along last night, you're going to love this. So basically, doing a watch along last night, we were messing around, and I typed into AI, what is Man United's best 11 at the moment? Oh my God. Make them forget Zidane, forget bloody Glasner, definitely forget Southgate, make AI the manager. The team they picked, brilliant. And people mock AI. We'll do that in a minute. Hit the like, Fish and Chips says hit the like button. Yes, do that. Okay, let's fly straight into some news though before we start about that. So we're talking Ruben Amorim. It's come out this morning from iNews, which is a news outlet. I think they're based out in London, definitely based out of the UK. What they're basically saying is that Manchester United are looking to back Ruben Amorim. And I would pose that question, can he come back from this? I think we'll do a poll about that and maybe talk about it towards the end of the show. Can he come back from this? But what they're basically saying is Ineos want Ruben Amorim to stay, but they're concerned he might walk. And it goes on to say that Ruben Amorim has threatened to walk before. United take that seriously, that he's not just, you know, threatening to walk. He is a personality that would. We'll talk about that in a moment. And also, he's becoming more and more disillusioned with how much scrutiny there is on Manchester United after every loss. He feels that he is building something and it will obviously take time. But at Manchester United, the media basically destroys the job. And I have to say, you know, I don't get led by the media. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I did see something this morning and it did resonate. And it basically said, when you look at Man United, they didn't get a goalkeeper. They didn't get a midfielder. They finished 15th. The ownership is an absolute joke. They're not spending the money that the top four are spending. They're not paying the wages that the top four are spending. Logically, when you put all the ingredients together, Man United are going to be nowhere near the top six. But the media demand that Man United should be top and they indoctrinate fans into that mindset and it makes for an environment that nobody can be successful in. I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I think, as I said yesterday, two things can be right. I do agree that the media feed off Manchester United in a situation where, you know, sometimes there's facts that would dictate that they're being very, very unfair. But the media don't put Bruno Fernandes in midfield. And that's the problem. If Amorim wants buy-in from the fans, we can fight that media. We know the media use Man United. You know, we know they over-sensationalise everything. But don't put Bruno in the midfield. That's the problem. So do I think that Ruben Amorim is going to quit? Do you think that Ruben Amorim might quit Manchester United? I think that if you were... I'm trying to word this in the right way. No, I don't think he'll quit Manchester United. I don't see the point. Why would you quit? Like, why would you make the people responsible's job any easier? You know, it's like, why would you do that? What loyalty would he have to the Glazers to make their life easier? They won't have to pay him off. He's seen as a quitter. They get away with it. You know, the Glazers are sat in a very, very comfy chair at the moment. No one ever talks about them. The wage bill is coming down. The expenditure is going down compared to our rivals. We've never been so bad. There are no protests. There are no Glazer out movements. We are worse than we've ever been. Everybody's talking about the manager again. They are on comfy street. Why would Amrim make their job easier? Like, they're under no pressure anyway. Why would Amrim leave? Why would he go, you know what, I'm going to make your life easier? People think he's making Sir Jim's... Sir Jim doesn't own the club, the Glazers do. So if Ruben Amrim walks, he's basically protecting the Glazers because they're in charge of the football club. They wouldn't have to pay him 13 million quid. He'd be seen as the quitter. As much as some people might say it's quite commendable and brave to walk away from a situation that is hopeless, they should pay him for doing it. I mean, look, I don't know what Ruben Amrim's like. And, you know, as I've said, I think if you walked away, there's an element of stupidity, but there's almost an element of moral code as well. But honestly, I'd be taking advice from other people. And if I was advising him, I'd say, absolutely, don't walk. Don't walk. Stop picking Bruno in the midfield, but don't walk. I mean, if you literally picked the right team, in fact, it'll take you 2 seconds, type it into AI, and then you get the sack, you'd probably walk out a hero. So I don't think he's going to walk. I think that in some ways it may well be lazy to even run that story because I don't see him walking. I think every single one of us would say the only people who want him to walk are the people who want a new manager. And that's not a reason for him to walk. If you were in those shoes, you'd be mad to walk away. Why should you walk away from what has probably been a very, very, very difficult 12 months? Why would you not want to be compensated for that? He's going to get a job elsewhere anyway. I don't see him walking. I don't see him walking at all. I think that would be crazy, in my opinion. Ross says, ChatGPT said Amrim won't quit. Yeah, and I don't think it's very good on that sort of stuff, mate. But no, look, I don't see why he would walk. I think the interesting thing is, why would Ineos be scared of him walking? I mean, that's probably... more of a concern for everybody is what, you know, why would they look at that, you know? Because, you know, surely they should be looking at replacements themselves. The more interesting question to me, and I'm just going to set the poll up on this as well, because we can come back to it, is can Amrim survive this? Can Amrim turn this around? I think we'll pose that to you. Can Amrim turn this around? Yes or no? And, you know, we can come back to that. But also this morning, just a bit of breaking news. We've had comments, an interview with Brian Mbeumo, which I think was a very good interview. And this is what he had to say. So essentially, he said, all team members must take on their responsibilities. When you play for such an important club, everyone must know what they have to do. And as a team, we need to do better. He said, in relation to Amrim, he's always been good to me. He helps me a lot. He's always behind me, but I know it's for the right reason, and that suits me as well. On the system, he said, it's a bit different, but I've already played in this system. It's our responsibility to be better. I don't think it's the system. It's us who need to improve. And he said, on playing in a front three, it's exciting because we get to learn to play with new players, and it's always challenging, but that's what we like as footballers. Of course, it will improve. We haven't played a lot together, so there are certain things that we're going to improve on, and there are different types of players, but it's good to be with them. And he also says that reflecting on the result on Saturday, obviously disappointed with the result, I think everyone in the team needs to take responsibility. When you play in a club like this, and I think I'd read that before, we need to do better. I think it's, look, we've heard it all before. We've heard it all before, but it is a little bit different when you hear it from Brian Mbeumo, because as we said yesterday, Ruben Amrim did an interview talking about how Brian Mbeumo embodies what he wants, how Brian Mbeumo is not impacted by being 2-0 down or a previous bad result. He will just go for it. He will still try and play the same way. And I think we've seen that in recent weeks, even against Man City when we were down, he still nearly scored that worldie. Even against Brentford, you know, he wins the penalty. So I don't think you can question Mbeumo's commitment to the cause. Now, whether that will change, you know, there is the whole, you know, put a good apple in a bowl with bad apples and it will become a bad apple. You know, it becomes infected. Mbeumo's not been here long enough yet. Remember when Bruno came into the club, how good he was. We've seen that all before as well with new players that come in with the right attitude and get dragged down by everybody else. We've also heard it before with players saying things like, you know, we've got to take responsibility. We've got to do better. It's not the system. It's us. He's absolutely correct on that point, you know. He's absolutely correct on that. I always find the systematic conversation quite strange in a sense that, you know, we have got a United side that without a question is, you know, not performing to the level that it needs to perform and it must do better. But I also feel that whatever the system is, it's always going to come down to the players. And whether they're playing a 3-4-3 under Amrim and potentially getting him sacked, or they're playing a 4-3-3 under Ten Hag and potentially getting him sacked, they're two very different formations in the space of 12 months and both managers got sacked with fundamentally the same set of players. So when I see all this formation chat, you can have a preference to a 4-3-3 or a 3-4-3, of course you can. But what about a year ago in a 4-3-3, which most people want us to play now, we were sacking a manager. And a year later, in a 3-4-3, we're sacking a manager. And that's my point. It's like, what is the fundamental consistency there? It's the players. And Mbeumo is right. Like, when I look at that Brentford performance, was it the formation that cost us the game? No, it wasn't the formation that cost us the game. It was the individual and collective mentality of the team and performance. The mentality and the performance wasn't right. And if you don't have that in the Premier League, you're going to struggle. So I agree with Mbeumo. I think that it isn't a systematic problem. It's an individual problem and therefore a collective problem. There are certainly issues around team selections, I think, 100%. But the thing about Mbeumo saying that is it resonates if it's a one-off. It resonates if it's new information. And what he's saying is absolutely correct. You know, he's effectively backing the manager. He's saying his teammates need to do more. It's on them to get results. And he's absolutely correct. But we've heard it all before. And I'm not criticising Mbeumo. I'm actually, you know, pleased that he's coming out and saying that in a difficult week. The problem with it is that it's almost talking to a brick wall. Because we've seen so many players say this over the years. And yet we still lose games to people like Brentford. We're still inconsistent, and I think that is the major issue. So I like what Mbeumo said, but in many ways he's stating the obvious. It's not rocket science that the big problem at the team at the moment is the players. Absolutely. Jake says these players aren't on top four wages because they aren't top four players. Paying players more decent doesn't make them better. Better clubs compensate players for their abilities. What do we pay for, says Jake. Seth says, I judge Ten Hag because by his third season, he got the squad he wanted. Hard to judge Amrim now because it's his first full season and he does not have his own squad. Benji says, imagine thinking a change of manager will lead to success. Have our fans seen the last 12 years? How many years of new examples do you need? And Henry says, if Amrim bought Cunha when this team already had a few number 10s, then went on to reject the Saudi bid. Does that mean he was always going to play Bruno in the midfield, even if the club bought him a midfielder? Yes. Yes. Yes, Henry. And this is the big problem I have. In everything people say about supporting this manager, and I think we all want to do it, I can't move past the fact that that is a glaringly obvious big mistake. 100%. Josh says, I missed the last couple, Mark. Hope you're well. I just can't believe this club has a leadership group of players who are only experienced in losing, sacking managers and downing tools. Very good point. And Artek says, no one is above the club and that includes the manager and his egos. His tactics can't seem to work at all. Good points. And Chin says, it took Sir Alex and Klopp 5 years to fix things. Why are we talking about sacking Amrim? We need a fresh squad and we've only got four. Bruno, Deleu, Shaw, Maguire need to go, not the manager. The problem is, Chin, and I will just answer this, is that everything everybody said there is great. And 52% of you are saying that Ruben Amrim can turn this around. Great. Lots of positivity in there about Amrim being able to turn it around. Lots of people saying it's the players, it's not Amrim. Agree. The big elephant in the room is that when you look at that Manchester United side, and most people are saying it's the players like Deleu and Shaw and maybe Bruno that need to be moved on, every Saturday he's relying on those players. And that's the fundamental problem, is if he wasn't using those players, we would have something to get behind and say, give him more time. You know, it's going to take time. Where Amrim is absolutely sinking himself is by doing the thing that irritates the fan base. Like, you're building your team around Shaw and Bruno, etc. If you didn't do that, people would go, he needs time. You know, it's going to take time to make changes like that. This is the mic drop, right? We were on That's Football last night watching the Liverpool-Galatasaray game, and somebody said, why don't you ask AI what's Man United's current best 11? And say what you like about AI. I used Google Gemini for this, so shout out to them. I typed in, what is Manchester United's current best 11? That's all I typed. This is what the answer was. Onana in goal if he's not there, on loan. If he is in goal, on loan, Binda. Mazraoui and Dorgu as the wide wing backs. You then had De Ligt, Yoro and Martinez when fit. Midfield two of Ugarte and Mainoo. And then a front three of Cunha, Mbeumo and Sesko. I mean, I can't really argue with it. You might tweak one or two things, but that's AI saying that's Man United's current best 11. So Martinez obviously isn't fit, but you would put him in. Yoro and De Ligt are the other centre-backs. Mazraoui and Dorgu is the wing-backs. Ugarte and Mainoo is the midfield balance. And then Cunha, Mbeumo and Sesko. Why is it that AI is dropping Dalot, Maguire, Shaw and Bruno? So you can sit there quite vindicated as a United fan this morning, because most of you are going to agree with that team. And even bloody AI knows we shouldn't be playing Bruno in the midfield. In fact, AI dropped Bruno. So I didn't know that was going to happen. And I just think it's massively enlightening. And, you know, this is the problem. If Ruben Amorim was picking a team like AI, I don't think a United fan out there would give any credence to the media saying he can't win two games in a row, his win ratio is terrible. I think everyone would go, shut up, it's our club, he's clearly building something. Rome wasn't built in a day. The owners haven't really backed him in certain areas. We're doing what we can with what we've got. And he would be fine. The problem is, he's not picking that team we've just mentioned there. And of course we can't pick Martinez because he's injured. So you could play Heaven, you could play Maguire, you could play Shaw. We get that. But he is putting Bruno in the midfield. He is utilising Dalot. You know, he is putting Maguire in the back three. This is where Amrim's going wrong. He's just not picking the right team for to allow fans to back him properly. Gemini in. What's Amrim's fascination with Bruno as a number eight, says Farik. I think it is what we said yesterday morning. He is the captain of the club. He is the leader of the Carrington. He is the most popular player. And he is seen as the leader at Manchester United, which is why they wouldn't get rid of him. So he basically picks himself. Not like he walks in and says, I'm playing in the midfield, but he gets picked by Amrim because Amrim sees him, like everybody else sees him, as Mr. Indispensable, Mr. Manchester United. Now, you might like not like that, but that's the truth. Bruno Fernandes gets picked because Bruno Fernandes is seen as the most important player, the Mr. Indispensable, Mr. Man United. So that's why Bruno Fernandes is in the team. Ruben Amorim doesn't even like him as a number 10. He's not quick enough to be a number 10. He wants people like Cunha and Mbeumo that can carry the ball. So he can't play him as a wing back. He can't play him up front. He can't play him as a centre back. So he has to put him in the midfield. So it's this necessity to pick him in a team that doesn't suit him. And obviously that sort of feeds into itself. Imagine Ineos and Amorim true plan is to get us relegated to the Glazers decide to sell. Yeah, I mean, that's Alec. That's just ridiculous. With a few out, isn't that the team that lost to Grimsby, says Dead. No, it's not the team that lost to Grimsby at all, mate. The team that lost to Grimsby. Let me have a look. And also, mate, I don't... Look, even if it was the team that lost to Grimsby, so bloody what? When you buy a player or you go with a system, it doesn't work straight away. You give that team 5-10 games. You don't just give it Grimsby. that's not how it works. The lineup against Grimsby was Maguire, Fredrickson and Heaven, Deleu and Dorgu. So it's nothing like that back five. Ahmad started as well. Agate and Mainoo started. And Cunha started. That was about it. Oh, Sesko started as well. So nothing like it. But even if it was it, you stick with it. You stick with it. You know, what about the team that lost to Brentford? How many times has he used that midfield? So, look, you might like the team he picked against Brentford. You might be in the minority and you might not like the time that the team that Jem and I picked. He is making shit decisions in relation to team selections. I want him to turn it around. I want him to be the guy, but his team selections are absolutely abysmal. And this is why he'll lose his job, because he can't get the fans on side with what he's doing. I'm not on board with what he's doing with that team. I'm not on board with Deleu, Shaw, Maguire, Bruno. You know, I'm not on board with that. I don't mind Maguire playing every now and again. I don't mind Deleu being a bench player, but I don't agree with them being starters. Keel says team knows how to beat the system. Long ball, says Keel. What's Amrit done that one as well? Imagine Ineos and Amrim Troop done that one, Alec. Is there something sinister going on in the background? Contracts, Darren Fletcher, because I don't understand how Shaw is in the team, says PJ. I honestly think Luke says this is just their bigger plan to set him up to fail to get their real guy Southgate, and then he'll come in and look brilliant because we're so low down, says Luke. JR says we go on about Bruno not working in the number six as he's not disciplined and wanders off. But he does the exact same in the number 10. I think it's time to go, says JR. I personally think what's going to happen at United... I mean, look, let me just speak about this for a moment. Options in relation to replacements. I saw something this morning about Zidane. Let's talk about Zidane. So Zidane's posted a picture in New York. He's a name that always gets linked to Manchester United. Zidane, I just think, is... you know, if Zidane wasn't called Zidane and you look at his managerial career, I don't think anyone would go anywhere near him. Now, he's had a good managerial career at Real Madrid, but it was at Real Madrid. It was quite a long time ago. And I think it's the aura of Zidane that makes him, you know, appealing. And I've liked the idea of Zidane before, but he hasn't actually done any managerial job other than Real Madrid, who he had an amazingly close relationship with, having played there. And also knew a lot of the players and the infrastructure. Doesn't speak English, never managed in the Premier League, never played in the Premier League, and has been out of the game for quite a long time. I also think he's going to go and take the French job again because it's something he has an attachment to. I think Zidane picks projects that he has an attachment to. He has no attachment to Man United. So Zidane, for me, is huge risk. I also think that the media would be on his back straight away because the British media in general are quite... bitter, so I don't think they'd give him time, so I don't think that will work. Effectively, we're looking at Southgate, Glasner and the Bournemouth coach. I think that's the three choices we have. What I think we will do is we will sack Amrim. I think Darren Fletcher and Michael Carrick will come in as interims till the end of the season, and we will probably... I think we're at a point now at Man United where we're already doing... We're in a cycle anyway, because every, you know, sack a manager, new manager hype, get bored of him, sack a manager, new... We're already doing that. That's been going on for over a decade. I also think we're about to enter another cycle, which is repeating the type of managers we appoint. So we had Moyes, the Premier League proven manager. We had Van Gaal, the experienced international manager. We had Jose Mourinho, one of the greatest managers there's ever been. Then we went for Ollie, the former player. Then we went to Ten Hag, the hipster. Then we tried Rangnick for a little bit. No, before Ten Hag, we had Rangnick, who was going to be like the, you know, sort of overseer to build the club. Then we went to Ten Hag, and then we've gone again, you know, bit of a hipster manager, but also formational change, you know, total change with Amorim. So I think we've done everything. And I think what we'll do next is we'll go back to the Ollie model of Carrick and Fletcher. If they do well, they'll get the job. And that'll basically be Ollie again for two years or so until we get bored of them. If they don't do well, we'll go for the Moyes, Premier League proven, like a Glasner or someone like that, or we'll go for the hipster like a Xabi, and the cycle will keep going round. The cycle is there of sacking managers, like I say, sack a manager, hype around the new manager, bored of him, sack him. That's a different cycle. This cycle we're about to start hitting now is the repetition. We've done every type of manager. Premier League proven, hipster, goat, experienced, rebuilder, total change. There is no other manager type we can try now that we haven't already done. So I think they will go Carrick and Fletcher interim, i.e. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Feel good factor. There'll be a song. They'll get the job. And then a year or two, people will get bored of that. Or they won't do that well and we'll go for somebody, you know, of what we've done before. So, I mean, this is why I don't think I've ever been so disillusioned with the football club. Because every manager change has excited me apart from David Moyes. I don't feel there's anybody out there that can excite me now. Because the real change, the only change that matters, is the one at the top. I mean, I want to see player change, but that comes from the top. So I just want to see change at the very, very top. And I don't see that happening. And it's interesting because I was reading this morning, Swedish Rumble, who's very good around the sort of financial side of things. And basically they put this post out saying, myth-busting edition, Amrum should be discussed. But in this post, I show with indisputable proof how no manager has been backed since Sir Alex left. Lack of owner support has been an extremely big issue for United since Sir Alex left. Let's bust some myths. How much has been spent on transfer fees? So basically, it shows that cumulative transfer spend over the last 10 years, Manchester United is massively below Manchester City and Chelsea. And actually, we're sort of around the same level of a sort of Liverpool and Arsenal now. As for wages, our wages are below, considerably below, Liverpool, Chelsea and Man City, and Arsenal are basically level with us and ready to surpass. So we pay the lowest wages out of Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal. We haven't spent more than Man City and Chelsea. This trajectory is down. Our transfer spend is trajecting down while everyone else is trajecting up. Our wages are trajecting down while everyone else is trending up. You should read the post. It's a very, very good one. But the major takeaway is that we have spent badly. One of you could say, oh, well, you know, whatever, though. Look at what Liverpool have done. Look at what Chelsea have done. Look at what Man City have done. Look at what our Arsenal are doing. Regardless of that trajectory being down, yeah, we've spent badly. We have spent, and we've spent badly. That comes back to the top exactly. I would add a third slide into that and say, and what we have spent, we've thrown on a bonfire, which also goes back to the ownership. So we have an ownership at the moment who is trajecting down spending, trajecting down wages, trajecting down employees, and what they have spent has trajected us down the league. So it's bad at all angles. We're spending less. How can you have a team in the top four when there are teams when the top four are spending more on wages than us, which means better players? How can you be in the top four when the top four are spending more than us? And how can you be in the top four when what you do spend is shit? So it all goes back to the top. And as I said, things have never been so bad at this football club. We're firmly in the bottom half again. We finished 15th last year. We're playing terrible football, which has been going on for years. We're so consistent at being bad. And yet, here we are. The only news is sack the manager. There is no ownership regime change. There is no pressure on the CEO or the owner from the press or the media. It's just the same old manager. I mean, intelligent people who don't know football but know business and know leadership would look at this and go, why are Man United so thick? Like, why is everybody around Man United so thick? It's so obvious what the problem is and no one talks about it. The reason Man United are where they are is because of how they've been run for the last 10 years. But every couple of years, the person who gets blamed isn't actually responsible for the movement of the football club. And it's funny because you get all these people saying Man United spend more than anybody. Well, we don't anymore. We definitely don't anymore. Our wage bill's coming down. Some people run down to the shops and buy a packet of Kleenex because of that. They're like, ooh, Ineos are cooking. The wages are coming down. So is Man United's league position. There's a direct correlation between wages you pay and performance if you pay those wages on quality. If you run a restaurant and you spend a lot of money on your chefs, you will produce better food. If you run a restaurant and you overpay shit chefs, you will produce shit foods and have a very expensive wage bill. What's happening in the Premier League is that people are spending more than us on better players, and they're trajecting up and we're trajecting down. But there is zero conversation about the ownership. Zero conversation about the ownership. No one wants to talk about it because, again, it's about the manager. And I wish to God the manager would just take some of these players that we don't want in the team out and, you know, back himself so that the fans can back him. Because really, we shouldn't be in a position where we're just talking about the manager again, because I don't see a way back beyond that. Drummer Joe says, Amrim needs to grow a pair and stop the favouritism. Thank you very much, Drummer Joe. Cyber Spider says, the cycle at United is like a dog tied to a pole. It goes round, but the rope gets shorter every cycle. Then we wonder why we can't reach things we did before. Thank you, Cyber Spider. Mark, the solution to our midfield problem when Bruno leaves is to get Wharton and Tchouaméni. Jim Thwaites is the truth. Homegrown João Neves, says St. Blanco. And Frarick says, why do some pundits talk so much crap? We need examples. And Artek says, what do you think about Mainoo? Other players at his age are excelling in the Champions League and Europa, but our best talent is struggling with Grimsby. Look, I don't know whether Mainoo is the answer. I would argue that, again, going back to what the media are talking about, and I read this morning, it might have been on the Swedish Rumble thing as well. At Manchester United, the media decide that Ruben Amrim's treatment of Mainoo is a crime and he should be sacked. And the fan base jump on it. This happens all the time. What if Mainoo's not the answer? What if Ruben Amrim's actually right about that? I mean, I saw Mainoo come on against Brentford at the weekend. He didn't do very well and he looked really slow. I want Mainoo to be in the team as a fan, but the media whipped this storm up very, very quickly and many of us jumped on it. Mainoo may not be the answer, but I can't imagine that Mainoo's worse than Bruno in the midfield. That's my point. And also, you don't have to play Mainoo or Bruno. You could just play Casemiro and Ugarte and get hold of the midfield. You could just have a balance in your midfield. All I want in my midfield is balance. I don't want a number 10 with zero discipline running around like a fly chasing a bloody ice cream. You know, he is not a midfielder. He's cost us goals. His indiscipline is a problem. And I think that whatever you think about Mainoo, he would do a job better than Bruno. But you don't have to pick Mainoo. You can play Casemiro and Ugarte. I just want more balance in my midfield, basically, Artek. Rob Always United says, can I get a birthday shout out? Happy birthday, Rob. Hope you're going to have a great day or having a great day. Real Madrid have changed manager 18 times in 22 years. You keep changing till you get it right, says Rory C. Rory, I don't want to be in a bad mood in the morning and I want to respect you, but I hate that comment. I absolutely hate it. It makes me want to rip my top off and tear those streams, all that down and kick the shit out of the studio and say, that's it, I'm finished. I absolutely hate that comment. I hate it that much. You know why? Because I hate the fact that you think that that's the way that Man United should behave. We should keep changing our manager until we get it right. And you know why I hate it? I don't mind sacking managers. I don't mind sacking managers. But Real Madrid will always have some of the best players in the world. And they will always recruit some of the best players in the world. And they will always go and get some of the best players in the world. Because their ownership wants to be the best team in the world on the pitch. So if Real Madrid keep sacking their manager until they get it right, they have the components of ownership, which is obsessed with being the best team in the world, and also having the best players in the world. So that doesn't work for us, Rory, because you're saying, let's keep changing the manager until we get it right. We don't have an ownership that wants to be the best team in the world, and we don't have players who are the best team in the world. So you're blaming it on the manager. I don't see the point in keep changing the manager, changing the manager, changing the manager, when you've got an ownership that doesn't care about being good on the pitch and players that aren't good enough to be here. So that's my issue with that. I don't agree with let's keep changing the manager till we get it right, because the components that surround that are the problem. And if we had owners that were obsessed with being the best team in the world and we had a squad that was good enough to be the best team in the world, I would say keep changing the manager until we get it right. But we don't have that. And Real Madrid do. Miguel says we're top two in XG. Data don't lie. We've improved a lot. Sacking Amorim was the worst decision ever. I mean, again, I wouldn't say it's as bad as Rory's comment, Miguel, but I couldn't give a toss about XG. I watch every game with you. I don't feel we're in a false position. So I don't know what XG's doing, but having watched every Man United game, I don't think we should be in the top four. I don't think we should be in the top eight. I think we are where we deserve to be. Brentford deserved to beat us. Fulham deserved a draw. Burnley pushed us to a last-minute penalty. Chelsea, we beat them because we had 10 men. They had 10 men. Man City deserved to beat us. Arsenal, I think we deserved a draw. But I can't say we're number two in the XG league, so we should be in the top four. I watch the game. Jono says, give it to Giggsy till the end of the season. And Bungle says, if nothing else, Mark, Amorim needs to be removed for his own well-being. Every man and his dog is piling onto him. It can't be good for his mental health. And Liam Yates says, do you think we could play Martinez in the midfield? I'm not sure if I'm remembering correctly, but I swear Ten Hag played him there for Ajax. We need Martinez to play left centre-back, mate. That's what we're going to do. Put Martinez in the midfield out of position and keep playing Luke Shaw. No thanks. Not for me. Teams know how to beat this. Done that one. Thank you very much. From Keel. Keel's back again. He says, we were saying Ollie out and Jose out when they were doing reasonably well. Amorim is doing awful. And Makel says, we don't have the board that Madrid have. Far from it, says Makel. What you need is a board. All I want is an ownership that is basically saying, we just want to win on the pitch. We just want to win on the pitch. Our obsession is to win on the pitch. Todd Bowley's obsession is to win on the pitch. There will be stuff going on structurally, you know, brands, you know, infrastructure, future planning. But their obsession is to win on the pitch. That's why they've spent $2 billion in the last few years. Liverpool want to win on the pitch. Arsenal want to win on the pitch. Man City want to win on the pitch. Newcastle want to win on the pitch. PSG want to win on the pitch. Real Madrid, Barcelona, they all want to win on the pitch. Man United would like to win on the pitch, but want to win off the pitch. That's the Glazer model. They bought Man United because it was a business proposition. And anybody that wants to defend them against that hasn't been looking closely enough. They bought Manchester United because it was an absolute marketing mammoth. In the early noughties, Vodafone, you know, the promised land, we were the club that was just doing ridiculous things, making ridiculous money on and off the pitch. And Glazers wanted a piece of that pie because they saw this was going to be the new sort of NFL, make load of money. And it's never changed. Success on the pitch is a nice to have. Success off the pitch is a must have. And that's what Man United is. That's what we are. And that's where the real conflict is. Because all I want and all you really want is success on the pitch. But it's not the driver at the football club. If you are obsessed, most people don't own football clubs to make money. This is the big takeaway. Most people don't buy football clubs to make money. They buy them for status. They buy them because they love football. They buy them because they want to win. They buy them because they want the status of owning Man City when they're winning league titles or Newcastle or whatever. The Glazers bought Man United to make money. And that's why we're failing. Because it doesn't go hand in hand as much as they think it does. You know, to make money, you've got to make savings. So we won't spend that much because we want to make this profit. And it doesn't go in hand. When you're focused on profit in a football club, you've sometimes got to spend to accumulate. The stupid thing is, if we'd spent better, we'd make more money. We're losing money now not being in Europe. We're losing money now by performing badly. But We need a board, we need an ownership that wants to make Man United great on the pitch. I don't benefit from Man United getting another brand deal with a car dealership. I benefit from Man United winning on the pitch. That's the problem at the football club. And the people who own the football club still have that mentality. Patrick Lynch, the voice of reason, says examples of managers turning it round is due to the ownership also backing it up and helping make tough decisions. You get time when the ownership does things to add time. Ours just seem to waste it. Thank you, Patrick. Gabriel says the owners are very bad, but they are not why we can't manage to win two Premier League games in a row. At this rate, we'll genuinely be in a relegation battle. If we keep hammering, it's on the manager. No, look, Gabriel's right. Like, there are definite elements of blame that stick with Amrin, and I just simplify it now and say it's not the owners picking Bruno in the midfield. There's more things that Amrin's doing wrong, but I think you can just symbolize it by going, or everything the ownership, we're never going to succeed under this ownership, in my opinion, and this playing squad's not good enough, but they're not putting Bruno in the midfield. So there has to be an apportionment of blame to the manager, of course. Sean Turner says, we got arguably two of the best attackers in the league last season, got one of the most sought-after strikers in Europe, yet we are in relegation form. That's on the manager, says Sean. Yes and no. As I say, the manager is picking Bruno in the midfield, so you have to take that on board. But look, it's like that picture of a horse, isn't it? Who's seen that picture of a horse where the front end of the horse is amazing and then the back end of it looks terrible? You've surely seen it. It's a meme. It's a drawing of a horse, and the front end of it is like brilliant artwork and the back end of it is like a two-year-old's done it. I would counter your point, Sean, by saying you're not completely right, in my opinion, because you can have the best front three in the world, but if the back end is shite, everyone will just focus on the back end. Look at PSG. Mbappe, Neymar, Messi couldn't win the Champions League. Arguably the best front three in the world. So just because you've got a really good front three, you've still got to service it. It's not like Cunha and Mbeumo and Sesko are missing loads of chances. They're not getting enough of the ball. So I think Amrin was given a good front three, but was he given the midfielder? No. Was he given the goalkeeper? No. So I think there are failings that go back to the ownership there. But as I said to you yesterday, I mean, it was a throwaway comment. A lot of people sort of picked up on it. I actually don't think Bruno Fernandes suits Cunha or Mbeumo. I don't think he's the right player behind them. I personally think Mainoo, at his best, gets the ball and is very good at playing a 5-yard, 10-yard pass. Bruno Fernandes hates it. Cunha and Mbeumo need ball to feet. And we've got a midfielder that wants to hit ball to corner flag. You know, he loves a 50-yard pass over the, you know, diagonal. I watched a lot of Wolves at the end of last season because I knew we were looking at Cunha. And they just happened to play a few teams I was doing watch-alongs for. Cunha wants the ball into feet. Cunha wants to win the ball back. I don't think Bruno Fernandes even helps the players that we've bought. I think Bruno Fernandes helps prime Marcus Rashford with the ball over the top. I think Bruno Fernandes helps you transition quickly. I don't think he's the player that plays the 5-yard simple pass. Cunha just wants the simple pass. He's got the body strength. He's got the first touch. He can move it out and dribble and run into space. Bruno hates that. Bruno Fernandes doesn't want to be in a team where he's playing 10-yard passes simply all game. He wants to play the risky ball, and I don't think that works. Vibor says, the mission statement for this club is very different for the owners and the fans. Unfortunately, the power is in the hands of the wrong group. Yeah. I mean, this is a great point by Vibor. The reason we are where we are is that we want an ownership model where they are obsessed with winning games every week. And winning trophies. We have an ownership model that is obsessed with building the stadium so they can make a load of money. What they're trying to do is buy your silence, buy your patience. They just want you to stop moaning. The scariest time for the Glazers was when the Liverpool game got cancelled and the Super League fallout. They were genuinely shitting themselves then. It's the only time Joel Glazer said, I'll go on a fan forum. They were 100% terrified after those Super League protests, etc. And that was the time where you really needed to put your foot down on the neck. But the season ended and they went and bought players and it all died. So there's a way to cause these owners problems, but we don't do it. And it's never been so quiet around that. The club's never been in a position as bad as this, and we've never been so inactive in relation to change. No, I'm not saying that change can happen anyway, but Hoisey, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. The Sadiq says, the owners are funny. They try so hard to get Super League by name and history, know that Champions League is a new Super League and they can't get it, says Sadiq. I mean, we're an embarrassment. Like, we were part of those Super League talks. And when you look at it, the reason we wanted that Super League was because it wouldn't have had any relegation. You'd have been in it on reputation and you'd never leave it. And that would have been perfect for us. Because we can't even get into the new Champions League because we're not good enough. The Champions League is basically a new Super League. And we can't get into it because you've got to get in there on merits. You've got to be good enough to be getting into it. No wonder we were part of the original plan, which was, you know, only certain teams get into it. We're a bloody disgrace in relation to the ownership. Happy birthday, Rob, always United. This is Sally Devil Red. Have a fab day. Thank you very much, Sally. Glazers are here because we finished 15th and someone, the Prats here, bought the new kit. If you have a shirt in the last 2 years, you're the problem also, says Trisha. I mean, I have got a kit behind me, so. But I'll put my hands up. When I say, as a fan base, we're awful, well, we all have to take part in that. We're all responsible. You know, we can't unite, we divide. There's never been a group that's capable of bringing this fan base together, and that's why the Glazers will always prosper. And they're not stupid. They're not stupid. They're part of the division. They make sure we're divided, you know. We all have to take responsibility because there are other fan groups that would remove the Glazers. We're incapable of doing it as a collective. Do you think anything will drive the Glazers out, says Farrick? No, I don't. But I think that's the only solution. I mean, look, people say, if I said to you tomorrow, you can change the playing squad, you can change the manager, or you can change the owner. I think the only one that's going to make genuine long-term change for the better is the owner. You change the manager, I think we'll be back here in a year or two. You change the players, and I mean, it depends what players you're giving me. It depends if we're going to keep changing players that don't work. Are we going to have the support to do that? But you change the owners tomorrow, and tomorrow morning there's a press conference with an ownership team that say, our only focus, our only obsession, pure relentless, take Man United back to the top. Day in, day out, that's our only focus. The whole club changes because we haven't had that for 20 years. I don't think people realise the dark we're in and the light of having an owner that would go, we want to be the best team in the world on the pitch. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe the change. You don't. I think we know it's bad. But I don't think we have a glimpse of what the change is. Like, if we went from where we are now to owners that were like, we're just going to be good. All we're bothered about is being good on the pitch. All the financial success and the marketing power, that's going to come anyway, because we're going to be the best team on the pitch. We can wait for that. We'll still build the stadium and we'll get better deals than they were getting because we're going to be the best team on the pitch. People are going to be queuing up to sponsor our shirt because we're going to be the best team on the pitch. People are going to be queuing up to be our bloody underwear provider because we're going to be the best team on the pitch. We're not going to be out there talking about the millions of people that follow us on social media that we can get to with tweets and stuff like that. We're going to just have a queue of people that want to sponsor us because we're going to be the best team on the pitch. Watch what we're going to do. We're going to relentlessly be the best team on the pitch. That type of an ownership would change the world for a Man United fan. Change the world. But we don't have it and we're not likely to have it. And we might not have it in our lifetimes. I can see the Glazers being here generationally for years and years and years and years. SNS says, even if we sack Amrin, we still need a midfielder, a goalkeeper, a left winger if we play 4-3-3. I don't see any us buying any of these in January. We'd still have a man without players. I think if you brought Glasner in now, there'd be an improvement. I think if you changed manager now, there would be an improvement. I genuinely think there would be a bit of a bounce because I think the players would suddenly go, like they did when Jose went, they'd go, we need to prove it was the system. I think they'd have a big meeting and they'd go, we need to prove there is a system. And I think there would be an improvement. But nobody can tell me, 4-3-3 or not, that our team's good enough to go to Anfield and win. Or Man City, or Arsenal or even Newcastle, even with our 4-3-3 best team, I still don't think we're as good as people think we might be. Still think we're only a team that would finish eighth anyway. Nima, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. What if it's Bruno who wants to play in the midfield because he can't perform like before due to his age but would still prefer to play all games? I mean, if that's the case, then he's the manager. Simple as that. Right, we're back at 2 o'clock. 51% of you don't think Amorim can turn this around and 49% do. Amazing poll. I'll take the credit for that. 7 o'clock show tonight because it's Champions League night on That's Football, PSG against Barcelona. 2 o'clock, we're back. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Another fantastic show. Really, really good conversation and points. I love the fact that there are so many different opinions at the moment. It really generates good conversation. Take care, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.